I want to begin by reading to you a passage the Lord brought to my mind this morning, and it's in Luke chapter 22, and it's verse 28. And he said this to his disciples, but I say it to you guys. It says, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials." And you guys know that on December 9th, we began a crazy roller coaster. You know, where we were supposed to be having a Shiloh family Christmas here, and all of a sudden, you know, and I knew what was going on. If you remember that day, I preached on peace. It was part of the Advent, you know, series, and I knew what was going on all along. So when I was preaching about peace, you know, I wasn't talking about a foreign concept. I was talking about something that was so dear to my heart, you know, that I was you know, struggling with, but I knew that God was holding me up. As a matter of fact, there was times when I thought, God, why do I feel so calm? Why do I feel, you know, and that's what the word calls it, the peace that goes beyond understanding. You know, God does everything beyond, you know, it says the love that goes beyond knowledge. The things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, you know, those are the things that he has reserved for us. And I was doing so well, but there was moments that were low, you know, that were scary, you know. About 2 weeks ago, he had a rough patch. All of a sudden, he was spitting up all his food, and then high blood pressure came, and then really high tachycardia. His heart rate was in the 190s and 200s. We're like, what is going on? And so I remember just, you're there, and we're taking turns because we have the girls, so I'm there by myself next to the little isolate. I'm just crying out to God, and tears are coming down my face. You know, I'm just, you know, just saying, God, I'm just, you are my sustainment, you know. Hold him up. And I was declaring every promise that he gave me about my little boy, you know, and over him. But in those moments, this is when the rubber meets the road, is that you got to stand on the faith and every word that he's spoken to your heart. That's where you really got to believe it, you know. But I thank God for each one of you. For every demonstration of love to Raquel and I and the girls, showing so much love, I can say that the love of Christ runs deep in Shiloh. The love of Christ runs deep in Shiloh. So we thank you. At no step have we felt that we were alone, that we were misunderstood, or that we're without God's covering, because you held up our arms. And if you know about that passage in Scripture, it says that Moses, as long as he held up his arms, the battle, you know, was being won. But then he got tired, and it says it started, like, losing. And so he'd come Aaron and Hur and hold up his arms. And then I could do a message just on that song. There's so much truth in that song, but it ministered to us so powerfully over and over. And it's got to become an anthem, at least for me. There's storms of life that come, and sometimes the Spirit leads us into the storm. So we have to trust them, even when we don't understand, when your feelings are saying one thing, you know, when the little screen is telling you everything's wrong. But the Holy Spirit's saying to you, trust me. And you have to say, I'm done chasing feelings. I'm done chasing the indicators, you know, external things. And that's when you say, I want the Word of God. And that's all I have. When I'm there by myself, all that plays in my mind are the words of God. So today, the title of my message is called Stormy Lessons. Stormy Lessons. Because there's a lot of lessons to be learned from the storm, the storms of life. Jesus forewarned us in John chapter 16, verse 33. We have two base scriptures. This is the first one. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You will have storms. You will have trouble. You will have difficulty. You have times when you don't know what's going on. And maybe you're in the middle of that today. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says, I have overcome the world. And the Bible says that you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And because you love life, you do not love life even unto death. The other key verse is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Jesus is the rock of ages. He's the cornerstone. He's the strong tower that the righteous run into in times of trouble. Hallelujah. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Crises have a way of revealing what's going on in your life, if you truly have a sure foundation or not. But you don't want to wait till you get to the storm to find that out. And Ecclesiastes says that seek the Lord in the days of your youth. Another place says seek the Lord while he may be found. Because there will be a moment there where, you know, you're gonna be alone in that situation, and it's going to be the word of God that's coming out through the Spirit of God rising up inside of you, and you begin to say to the devil when he tempts you with fear, and say, it is written. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. And sometimes storms, you see them coming, you turn on the news and say, hey, a storm is coming. There's going to be maybe a time of famine. There's going to be a time of difficulty. But there's sometimes where they come without warning. And that's what happened to us. December 9th, the storm just came. My wife had perfect pregnancies, term babies, you know, nothing out of the ordinary, no hiccup, all the checkups have been fine. But one day, her cervix was dilated, and the baby wanted to come now. The doctors have not been able to tell us exactly why it happens. They just know it happens. And by the way, that's another thing we've learned. Doctors and science only go so far. Hallelujah. But God is limitless. He knows every little detail. Hallelujah. So I don't want to put my trust in them. I put my trust in God. I'd be a fool to trust in man. I put my trust in God because he will never fail me. It's the worst that can happen. My baby went to be with the Lord. I go see him one day. That's what David said. He says, after I've been praying for a son that died, you know, they told him, yeah, he's passed on. He says, you went and washed up, had food. And they said, David, you have been fasting for a week and praying. And all of a sudden now you're eating and washed up. He says, yeah, I can't do nothing about it. He says, he can't come to me, but one day I will go to him. Hallelujah. So no matter what happens, we have heaven ensured. If you put your trust in Jesus, come on. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, then you need to put your trust in Jesus. You need to be on the rock this very day. Hallelujah. So sometimes storms, they just show up. Some of them you get into on your own. Hallelujah. Here's the strongest verse I have for you today. Proverbs 29:1. He who is often rebuked and hardened his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You don't want to be one of those. But the storm comes and, hey, where did he go? The crisis came and their faith just crumbled. That it was just a veneer. It was a facade. There was really nothing there. You need to put your trust in him. The good thing is that he loves you so much. And even when we're frail and our faith is weak, you know, he holds you up. Jesus said to that man, do you believe? I do believe, but help my unbelief. But help my unbelief. You know, I still have doubts, God. I still have situations where I don't know what to do. And he will hold you up. But some of us know better, but we choose to disobey God. We get into the wrong relationships. We continue rebellious ways. Some of us have allowed offenses to linger, building a root of bitterness. Come on, that's a storm that we get ourselves into. We let our temper flare out of control. Yes, we call ourselves Christians, but sometimes, you know, we flare up and people are like, whoa, are they really Christians? You know? Hallelujah. We let our tongue get out of control sometimes. But that's not the storms that I really want to talk about. There are other storms of life that we don't understand what's going on. Maybe a sin coming against us and God allows them, like Job. Or God purposely takes you through one, like when Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat. And all of a sudden they found themselves in a storm. Well, Jesus led you right into that one, right? He had something he was going to do, right? And it says that he was sleeping in there. He wasn't fazed by the storm. Hallelujah. But the awesome thing is that Jesus was in the boat. If you're going to be in a storm, you want Jesus to be in your boat. You want Jesus to be right there with you. What did that song say? If you're in it with me, I'll do it. You know? But if you say to release, then I'm going to let it go. If you're not there, I don't want to be there without you. Now, Joseph, the son of Jacob, is my favorite example because he was favored from the beginning. God gave him dreams, and he was the star of the show in the dreams, wasn't he? So that favor set him up for a storm because his brothers hated him. They were jealous of him. And they hated him so much, they plotted to kill him. But actually, they sold him as a slave. And you know what? He spent 13 years either as a slave or in prison. 13 years. And it said quickly. And maybe you've been in a long, long, drawn out storm in your life. You're saying, what is going on? Well, I want to tell you what's going on, but you need to follow what I'm saying. All right? So you ask, well, which ones did I get myself into? And which ones did God lead me into? Some are easy to discern. You can tell, yeah, that was all me. I got myself into that mess. Or, yeah, that's definitely God, you know. But some are not that easy to discern. You're like, I don't understand God. I'm doing the work, you know. I'm coming to church. I'm in my connection group. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. Sure, I snapped the day. Maybe that's the reason. Or sure, you know, I shouldn't have, you know, done this or that. And so you begin to question yourself, you know. And I know a lot of mothers, when they have troubles with the pregnancy, they begin to say, well, what didn't I do right? Did I eat this correctly? You know, maybe I should have rested more. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. And they begin to internalize all that and begin to think, oh, maybe it was me. But the song is, Spirit, lead me. And sometimes God just leads us right into a storm. Hallelujah. But you know what? Even though you may not know what's going on, God can harness the energy of every storm. God can harness the energy of every storm. Come on. Hallelujah. He's like a wind turbine. He's going to turn that storm into your favor. The nastiest winds and waters can propel energy to light your world. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes." And let me tell you, there are no coincidences in God. If you allow Him into your circumstances, you can be sure that He can make sense of any of it. People that you meet, you know, failures, you know, you're in a situation where you're like, why am I here? Why am I talking to this person? Like the other day, this nutritionist just sat down and is looking at me like, it just stared at me and like, hi, Liz, you know, and I'm just talking to her and I was like, well, she's not going away, so guess what? I'm going to share the gospel with you since you have nothing else to do. So you just got to be ready when, you know, just God plops something into your life, you know. And I told her, there's no coincidence. There's a reason why you're here. Come on. So the point number one that I have for you today is all storms can be harnessed by God. All storms, the ones that you get yourself into, the ones that you're not sure if He got you into or not, but all storms can be harnessed by God. Come on. Let's read from Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 through 8. It says, "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." This is Joseph speaking. "For God sent me before you to preserve life." Who sent me? God sent me. "For these 2 years of famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. So now it was not you who sent here, but God. It was God who set you up. Come on. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Your family relationships are sometimes the greatest source of storms in our lives, aren't they? And the storms are so large and so dark that you cannot outrun them. You want to outrun them, but they can't. They just catch up. But these storms are also the greatest tool of God to shape your character. Come on. There are some things that God wants to entrust you with, that he's going to entrust you with. But he can't entrust you with it yet because your character is not ready. God is so committed in entrusting you his kingdom. God could do it all himself, but he said, I'm not going to do it by myself. I'm going to give my kingdom to my people. I'm putting it in their hands. They're my sons. And they're going to run, you know, my country. They're going to run my kingdom. But they have to have the image of my son. And yes, you're a work in progress. So as your character begins to develop, as your faith begins to develop, he begins to release bigger and bigger pieces of the kingdom. Bigger authority. Bigger insights. Come on. Bigger influence. Are you seeing this? But now you have to remember that you have a choice in all of this. You can do it the hard way, or you can do it the easy way. And I don't want to say really easy, because nothing that is worth God's stewardship is really easy. But it can be easier. Easier. Because he's going to need you to withstand pressures that make a godless man crumble. And I hope that you rejoice with me as well. You've been praying for us. That God has sustained us with faith, because I stand as a man who's going through the ringer, but I can stand here and preach with joy, and preach with peace, and preach, you know, with strength. And we're not out of it yet, but God is holding me up. I just feel the Spirit inside of me saying it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He needs you to be so laser focused that temptations just bounce right off of you. The things that Satan used to trip you with, now they're just like, Satan, I have no time for that. I really don't have time. I mean, come on. I mean, we really don't have time. We really don't have time, do we? We just, you know, go to the hospital, pray, eat, you know, spend time with our baby, spend time with our daughters. Go back, minister to a few families, because guess what? There's a lot of families there in the middle of the crisis, and they don't have Jesus. Their faith is just not there, even if they have Jesus sometimes. And God has put us in a place to minister to them. Come on. God will use you in the middle of your storm. Come on. And God can harness even your failures. Because sometimes you'll finish the storm season, you're like, man, I wasn't very good. You're like, I really blew up on that one. I really didn't handle that well, man. And it's okay, because God can even use your failures to teach you some things. He'll give you some insights. It's like, you know, now that I think about it, I could have done things differently. So now, God, I see what I've done. Help me so that the next time that this comes, because God is going to have you go through another test.
That's right.
You know, you can change cities, I've told you. Yeah. But your problem's going to follow you.
Yeah.
Because God is after you. And he's like, I got to deal with your character, whether you're here or in New York City or in Europe or in the army or wherever. I'm going to follow you around.
Yeah.
You know, just by getting out of that relationship or that, it's not going to change a thing. I'm still wanting to deal with you.
Yeah.
Come on. That's awesome that God can harness even the failures in our storms. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. And Jesus here is speaking to the faithful church of Philadelphia. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Let me paraphrase it for you. He who makes it through the storm that I sent to you, that I were allowing your life, I'm going to make you solid enough and strong enough so that my purposes on earth can rest on you. And nothing can move you and shake you from my hand, because you're no longer who you used to be, and now you belong to me. Come on. He said to me in my 20s, settle this in your heart, you don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to yourself. And some of us, we've given our life to Jesus, we said, I mean, at least in theory, you know, we pray the sinner's prayer and say, Lord, be my Savior and be my Lord. And be my, God's like, what? Be my Lord. My what? Be my Savior and my Father. No, I want to be your Savior and your Lord. All right. Point number two. The storms reveal your readiness. The storms reveal your readiness. Storms themselves are not the training ground. Storms are the revealing ground. As we read in Matthew, if your house is on the rock, it will be revealed after it's passed through. But remember that this is tied to doing God's word. So what does it mean to be on the rock? It means that you're established on the word. Some people can do God's word in the good times, but when it hasn't become a part of their character, in the midst of the storm, they revert to their old ways. I mean, that's happened to all of us. Come on, let's just be real. Yeah. Yeah. You know, in Spanish, when somebody has a temper, you know, we call them genio or genie. The genie of the lamp. Because you rub them a little bit and you know. Tiene un genio. He has a genie. You know, something pops out of the bottle. You know. They curse when they get wrong. They manipulate, they cheat, they slander, and they are filled with panic and fear. You know, God doesn't want that. Look at Psalm 112. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 6 through 8. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And what does it say? Who delights greatly in his commandments. That means that you love his word. The word of God is the ultimate authority on your life. Not other people's opinion, not what your boss says, not what the government says. What does the word of God say? That's what my opinion has to line up with. So basically it says, he who loves the word and acts upon the word is blessed and favored of God. And as we're in a season of prayer and fasting, aren't we? We must devote time to the word. Jesus himself quoted the Old Testament and said that man shall not eat of bread alone, but of every word that comes out of his mouth. You cannot stand through the storm without the word firm in your heart. Psalm 119, somewhere in there says, I will hide the word in my heart so that I will not sin against him or against you. So you need to be diligent to study it. You put it in you when you don't need it so that it's there when you don't need it. Or when you do need it, excuse me. You really need it at all times. That is the fact. You're not a Christian because you come to church, but because you love the words of Jesus. Come on. Satan's not scared from you walking in the door. He's like, go right ahead. It's when he starts seeing you act upon the word that he's threatened. He's like, wait a second. That I don't like. They're starting to believe. They're starting to, you know, act in faith. They're starting to trust God. Now that I have a problem with that. But look at what the next verses say. Verses 6 through 8. Surely he will never be shaken. Surely she will never be shaken. I've said a lot of he's today, but whenever the word says he, it also means she, in case you don't know. Okay? You will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. And this one has ministered to me a lot. It's come to my mind often as I walk into the hospital in the morning. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. He will not be afraid of bad news. You know, I'm not going, oh, what's the doctor going to say today? Hey, doc, how's it going today? No. I said, I will not be afraid of bad news. I will not be afraid of bad news. Bad news don't make my day. They don't influence me. I'm not looking at the meter of life with the numbers. Beep, beep, beep. And that tells me, oh, no, that's how I should feel. Oh, numbers are bad. I guess I should feel bad. Oh, don't go up, don't go up. No. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Come on. Come on. I'm ministering to myself as I say these things. I will not be afraid of bad news. Raquel will not be afraid of bad news. Come on. Because our God is in control. Hallelujah. What better way to go through a storm than through prayer and fasting? And you know what? Every night before we go on to bed, we're at the Ronald McDonald House, which, by the way, God has blessed us so tremendously with. You know, it's like a hotel, and it's all free. They have the hospital and the Ronald McDonald's have shuttles. They can take you back and forth to the hospital. I mean, they give us gifts for the girls for Christmas. You know, they're just really out there to give things to people. You know, they say, we just want you to worry about your baby. You know, that's all you should need to care about, you know. It's kind of like, you know, you've heard of St. Jude's, something similar. It's just like, all you want to, you don't worry about the food, don't worry about, you know, where you're going to sleep. I mean, everything. They go out of their way to make things comfortable for you. But every night we go to bed, we go into my mom's room because they gave us two rooms. That's another amazing thing. They say, oh, we'll give one room to your mom, you know. So they give her own room. And so we go in there and we just pray. You know, every night, you know, we just spend some time in intercession. And obviously, a lot of prayer for the baby, but then we start praying, you know, for all the other mommies and fathers that are there and their babies and their loved ones that are going through treatments. And then we start praying for you guys. And we start praying for, you know, the pastoral team. And the Lord brings us faces and situations. And we have, I know there's prayer requests that are going out in email. And we're remembering those and we're just lifting them up. You know, and at first it may start as a whimper, but then we just begin to feel the roar of God in our hearts. And we begin to declare the word of the Lord over people. And it's like we see in the spirit, you know, angels, as soon as the words leave our mouth, they're just going out and doing stuff on our behalf. You know, come on. You're just sending, you know, arrows. You're just sending lances and bombs into the spiritual. Come on. You don't think this makes a difference? The Bible tells in Revelation that there's some bowls. There's bowls of prayer of the saints, and there's also the bowls of wrath. And there's a point in time where all the martyrs say to God, when are you going to avenge us, God? When are you going to avenge us? He says, hold on until the bowls fill up. You know, so there's when evil, you know, and injustice, you know, begin to fill up the bowls, eventually God says, all right, that's too much. And he begins to pour out the wrath on the situation. But there's also the bowls of the prayer of the saints, which are precious unto God. You know, you're thinking, what is going on? I keep praying. I don't see anything. Oh, you think that nothing's happening, but every little trickle of your prayer is going into this bowl. It is just kind of filling up and filling up and filling up and filling up. God keeps saying through the prophetic voices that this year is a year of tipping. They got to saying, okay, that's enough. There is going to be a lot of strife. There is going to be a lot of spiritual warfare surrounding our nation. You know, but I was listening to Dutch Sheets, and probably Pastor Jim heard this. You know, this prophet from prophetess, you know, a woman who was a prophet from Australia, said that the Lord showed her, you know, a lion standing over the United States. Each one of the four paws was over the four corners of the United States. And all of a sudden, it was the Lion of Judah, and he began to roar. Roar! You know, and we were going to begin to see the fear of the Lord come upon this nation in a special way. There's going to be a lot of fight. There's going to be a lot of nastiness. Come on. You know, anytime, you know, God's getting ready to do something, the devil tries to counteract it. So you're going to see a lot of nastiness come. You're going to see it in the news. You're going to see, but you're going to begin to see a lot of people turn to the Lord. A lot of people begin to just give their lives to the Lord. Dutch Sheet said, you know, that there's going to be more people saved the next 20 years than the preceding 2,000 years. That's what he said. So I'm just saying, those bulls are getting tipped. So I'm trying to tell you, don't stop praying. Don't, to quote a secular song, don't stop believing. Right, Mr. G? Don't stop believing. Right? Come on. Oftentimes when things weren't working out at work, he would say, remember the song, don't stop believing. Hallelujah. All right. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, there's purpose, by Christ Jesus. What does it say? After you have suffered a while, after you've gone through the storm, after you've gone through a difficult situation, he will perfect you. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. And he's going to settle you. Come on. Leadership and character building, we've said it before, are eternal endeavors. Because remember, as he builds you up in his character and his image and his authority, he's going to set us up. You know, if you overcome over cities and over nations, when we come back, you know that there's going to be a reign of Christ over the earth. And he's going to have his saints to help him run the show. So that's why he lets you, you know, go through the ringer. And believe me, this is a year where God's tightening up the screw. You know, so you're like, whoa, you know, things you used to get away with before. He's like, I can't have you getting away with that stuff anymore. I need you. You know, this verse keeps coming to my mind all the time. He's useful to me for the ministry. He's useful to me for the ministry. As I think of different people, even as I thought of my baby, he said, he's useful to me in the ministry. I said, yeah. When I thought about my daughter, she's useful to me in the ministry. Yeah. You know, so it's okay. If he's tying the screw in your life, it's because he loves you. He needs you to be tight, strong, established, perfected. Hallelujah. So the storm reveals a lifetime or a passage of buildup. Let me ask you, what does a storm say about you? What does your storm say about you? I mean, I'm not trying to discourage you, you know. But maybe you did. You went through the fire. Tried and true. Isaiah 43 says, do not be afraid or fear not, for I am with you. And when you go through the fire, I will be there. Right? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wait a second, there was only supposed to be three. There's a fourth man, and he looks like, you know, like a son of God is in there. Ooh, because Jesus was right there in the midst of the fire of the trial. And when they came out of the fire, come on. They didn't even smell like smoke. And all of a sudden, all these people believed. Come on. There's stuff that people are drowning on, you know, in their crisis. That when they look at you, how do they hold up? How do they do it? I need that. Come on. Last point. Point number three. Storms precede your promotion. Or the storm precedes your promotion. Come on. After his storm of having to give up his son, he was given the honor to be the father of faith and the forefather of Jesus. Come on. He wants to lay the kingdom to your lap. But he has to prepare you. Joseph was made second in command in Egypt after 13 years, we said, of slavery and prison. David became king after fleeing for his life for nearly 15 years and expanded the kingdom amazingly. Daniel was made a high official in Babylon and Persia after going through the storms in each situation. Maybe you don't think about it this way, but even the Virgin Mary went through a storm. She believed, said, do unto me as you have said. She said to the angel, do unto me as you have said. God, it's not going to be easy. I wasn't planning this. This wasn't on my calendar. You know, I don't know what my husband is going to say. You know, We've never had relations, and yet here I am pregnant, but I'm just going to trust you that you're going to make it all right. And the storm lasted for 9 months, and then the baby comes, and now they're trying to kill the baby, and now we've got to flee to Egypt. I mean, I have a greater respect for the miracle of life that is carried within women. It takes a team of dozens of people to do what one womb does flawlessly. They don't know what they're doing sometimes. But God in His infinite wisdom has put it all right there. All the right nutrients, all the right oxygen, all levels, everything is right there to develop perfectly every single time. And when they come on, I was like, well, are we going to tweak this, tweak that, you know, and what do we do, you know? Come on. And how about this? Even Jesus went through a storm. He went through the cross, didn't he? He went through misunderstanding. He had to come to earth and humble himself for the very people he created. Didn't even appreciate him many times. He went through the scourge. And he surrendered his will yet again. Remember at the garden and he said, you know, if it's okay that this cup passes me by, but let not my will be done. And he said he had to stay there. He was agonizing in this prayer. It wasn't like, okay, whatever. No, it was a tough prayer. And some of you have been there where you're like when I was sitting there looking at the numbers and the tachycardia is like in the 200s. And I'm like, how can the little heart take that? And I'm just, tears are running down my face. I'm saying, God, but let not my will be done, but yours. That's when you need to say, let not my will be done. Let your will be done, God. But early Sunday morning, just like Jesus said, come on. Something happened, and he broke out of the grave. Come on. There's a Sunday morning coming for every storm, for every situation, and with it comes promotion, because God says, because you submit yourself to me and you learn discipline and obedience from me as your Father, I've given you all authority, and you get to judge all of the world and all of the universe is yours, my son, because you did that. And the same pattern that happens with us as we begin to submit ourselves to God's will, and even to the storms of life, He's going to begin to, promote us. And let me tell you, promotion is not necessarily about a position. Come on. It could be about a breakthrough. It could be the salvation of a loved one. It could be influence. It could be financials. It could be, all kinds of things. And I want to say this to you. As someone said to me once, I think it was John Bevere, don't follow a man without a limp. I think he said, don't trust a man without a limp. Don't follow a man without a limp. You want somebody that's been broken, who's gone through the storm with God, who's been tried and tested, and they have not been found wanting. They made it through. That's the people that you want. Because now they're completely dependent on God. It's not about them. It's about God. Come on. Hallelujah. Why does God bestow favor? It's because He knows it will not spoil you. Your character can bear it. You are a column that can sustain against pride and self and hold the burden of ministry, the burden of influence that He's going to give you. And it's incremental. Just like you go to first grade, and once you finish that, you go to second grade. Once you finish second grade, you go to third grade. But you got to pass each stage that God has set before you. This is not about where you are now. Is where He's going to take you. But you got to respond to your current tests, your current storms. He will not give you more than you can handle. You got to build your house upon the rock of the Scriptures. And when the storms come, once the storm dissipates, you will be revealed as a fortress. You will be revealed as a fortress. Some of you are already fortresses in the Spirit. And God, as it gives you things, some of you, God has given you all kinds of influence and money and relationships and giftings and authority, because He knows that He can depend on you. But He's calling us all to that place. I had a few personal lessons in my storm. And like I read earlier in Luke 22, 28, you're the ones that stood with me in my trials. I learned who my friends are. And I can say that all of you are my friends. Your prayers, your notes, your visits, your gifts, you know, they've held us up like you cannot imagine. And that's another way that God has shown His favor, is with you guys. Just you guys have jumped through hoops. And every day I get somebody to tell me, whatever you need, whatever you need. Number two, I know who my source is. I have not lacked a thing. You think I have to go to work. I have to make ends meet. No. God has taken care of everything. You know, I had enough sick leave, but then, you know, some people from work, they brought me a work computer. They brought me a leave form. Say, here's your leave form. Here's your work computer. They got me a virtual private network. I got a VPN that tunnels right into my files at work. You know, I can do my work. I've already gotten the reputation around the NICU. It says, oh, that's the guy that works, you know, right there from, you know, from the NICU, you know, because I'll sit there on my computer, you know, watching the baby and just, you know, hallelujah. And he told me, you're going to have to learn to receive. I told you before that when I was a kid, I used to always count my money, just counting my money, counting my money. You know, look at, kept it in a box, you know, under the bed. And I was always counting my money, like, you know, it was like a security blanket. You know, God said, forget that. I am your source. You need to learn to receive when I give to you. And I can tell you now that we have continually received above and beyond. And God is trying to tell me, Eric, there's a time when it's going to come, I hate to say it, that you're not going to be working where you're working, and you're going to be, you know, because I need you in the ministry full time. And I'm okay with that. God was just trying to say, I need to teach you this lesson now, that I'm your source, I'm your provider, and I'm going to take care of you and your family no matter what. And I will use whoever I have to use to bless you. Come on. Hallelujah. And I've learned that faith is very much like a baby. You start out with a little seed, and it looks feeble, and it looks weak. But you water every day. You water every day. You know, with prayer, you bathe it, and all of a sudden, it begins to flourish. You begin to see all the prayers of the saints going into that bowl, and it begins to tip over in the form of, you know, growth, in the form of strength, in the form of, you know, sustainment, and all the organs working as they're supposed to. Come on, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He also told me, you know, I can sustain this ministry without you. I don't need you. I want to use you, but I can make it, I can do it without you. You know, this season is for your life, and as somebody was reminding me earlier, this season is for you to take care of your family. You know, there'll be time for other stuff later, you know. But kind of like when the people were in the desert, and it says that their sandals didn't wear and their clothes did not wear for 40 years. He said, it's like that. I can supernaturally make things run without you. Come on. Hallelujah. It's great to know that your boss has got it all figured out. My boss. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His retirement plan is out of this world. Come on. Yes. Hallelujah. I finished with these quick takeaways. Number one, God harnesses every storm in your favor. You need to allow Him. You need to look for Him in the storm. Come on. Hallelujah. Number two, storms reveal realities. You need to know His word and you need to obey. You need to build up your word life inside of you. Come on. You need to read your scriptures every day. Every day. Number three, storms precede promotion. If you overcome, you will be made a pillar in the house of the Lord. Revelation 2:26 says, also he overcomes and keeps my works until the end. To him I will give power over the nations. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something happened when I became pastor, and I would go in my prayer closet, and I just feel in the spirit that as I pray, things happen. It's just like, oh, you know. Literally, like spiritual bombs. And like Samuel said, it is a sin for me not to pray. My job is to stand on the wall and to pray, because things have to happen. And that's the job, you know, that he has given me. Pastor Joseph has had it for such a long time, but he said, it's now for you to take that mantle and begin to intercede and to pray for this community. Come on. Hallelujah. Not just the community. I pray for the valley. And while I was in Tucson, I started praying for Tucson. You know, so, you know. Come on. And let me finish with these last 2 points. The most important mission of the enemy is to keep you from surrendering. Something happens when you surrender. For your family and for you. It's when you surrender. When you surrender. And last, you don't want to follow anyone who's not been broken. You want people to follow you, but you need to be broken yourself. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.